Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
It is Bella Sophia taking the field to the top of the stretch. Decade. And on the outside, here comes Miss Brazil now. Bella Sophia and Miss Brazil on the outside. The half was run in 45 and 3/5 seconds. It is Miss Brazil now poking ahead in front of Bella Sophia, who continues to battle on. Australasia is gaining ground out in the middle of the track. They pass the 16th pole. Here comes Australasia to stay undefeated. She's 6 for 6. She comes to New York and wins the Jersey Girl Stakes in 1:09.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, in New York. Bobby Newman out in Iowa getting ready for the Friday night action at Prairie Meadows. Producer Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. 13 Weekend Stakes for you as we wrap up the action at beautiful Belmont Park. Opening day at Saratoga this Thursday, July 15th. So next week's edition of the program will emanate from Section B at the Old Spa. What's happening, Bobby? Happy Friday, my man.
Happy Friday to you, buddy. We're almost there. Saratoga opening in New York. Del Mar going to open in Southern California. We've got some great racing, though, to finish out the cards at Belmont, though, before we get to those.
Yes, lots to go over. 13 races. Play them all over at Naira Betts. Head over to open a brand new account. HRRN200 is the promo code. Bet 400 in the first 2 weeks. They'll deposit match up to 200 bucks at thenairabets.com for more details. There's a 50-50 promotion tomorrow. You bet $50 to win on a horse, at least 50 to win on a horse in the Belmont Oaks and the Belmont Derby. It goes races 7 and 9 on the 11 race card. If win or lose, you get 10 bucks back. That's the first promo. And the second one, we got the cross country pick 5 tomorrow. Last one down at Belmont for the spring summer meet starts with race 5 at Delaware Park, and then races 7, 8, and 9 at Belmont, and then race 9 at Delaware. So it's Delaware, Belmont, 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 Delaware. It just so happens that we will go over all of those races. It's the Robert Dick Memorial, the 3 races at Belmont Oaks, the Victory Ride, the Belmont Derby, and then the Delaware Handicap. So you're going to hear all of these races in the first 2 segments of the show. Head to NairaBets.com for more details and to play along. All right. Let's get right into it. The Belmont Oaks Invitational is a grade 1. 1.25 on the inner turf. 700,000 on the line. We got a field of 8. Now, obviously the story in this area has been the rain. Tropical storm Elsa dropped anywhere from 1 inch to 4 inches, depending on where you are. We got over 2 inches of rain on Friday at Belmont Park. We were off the turf today. Track was sloppy to start the day. And these races will stay on. There's a little rain in the forecast this evening, some spotty thunderstorms, but that's hit and miss. I would be stunned if the Oaks and the Derby came off. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I don't know about the rest of the card, so keep an eye to the sky, to Twitter, to Naira.com. They'll keep you posted. But these will stay on. I didn't even handicap them the other way for Talking Horses. And Coolmore has a big hand in both the Oaks and the Derby. And Santa Barbara comes in for it, and O'Brien and Coolmore just got beat in neck over at the Curragh. Last time going this 1.25, and she figures to be, she's even money on the morning line. Ryan Moore comes in, figures to be maybe even shorter than that.
Maybe, but I'm actually going to take a different look at some of these races. There's not just one Euro shipping in each of these races. There are a few accomplished Euros. Now, Santa Barbara's getting all the hype, and her rider comes in with her, Ryan Moore. And as you mentioned, she was only beaten a neck in a Group 1 in Ireland, which normally you would think is easily good enough to make her the one to beat in this race. However, number 2, Serona, is another one who was only beaten ahead in a Group 1 over in Europe. Wasn't in Ireland, it was in France at Longchamp two starts ago. She didn't run very well at Shanty last time out. She finished 10th, although only beaten three lengths in another Group 1 event. Doesn't bring her regular rider over here, but Jose Lascano picks up the mount for Christophe Ferlon. And I think that her credentials are about as good as Santa Barbara's, and I think both of them have better credentials than the fillies who have been running here in the States. So I'm going to go with the bigger of the two prices in number two, Serona, who I think is a very generous morning line price of 12-1.
I think part of the reason she didn't bring her rider over is she's staying. She's going to Chad Brown after this race. So maybe you have a little bit of an angle there. I couldn't get past Santa Barbara. More often than not, O'Brien brings a team over here. Not necessarily the A team, and he's gotten the job done with less than the A team. This filly, off of her last race, I think she'd be really dangerous. I guess the only thing you could say is her worst race was in Great Britain two starts back. It was going a mile and a half, but it was over soft ground. Good soft ground. She's run on good firm, and good ground in her other three races, and they're much better performances. I don't know. Maybe that's her knock. I think if any of the U.S. horses beat her, it'll be Plum Ali, who has looked from the beginning like she'd won a mile and a quarter. Weird to say, being by First Samurai out of a Strollmare. I actually saw Christophe Clément at dinner Thursday night, and he was excited to run her, but obviously he was afraid of the Euro shipping in. I think if any of the Americans beat her, it could be Plum Ali. And we'll see what Gam's Mission can do. I thought if one of the Euros won, it would be Santa Barbara. Gam's Mission's on a nice little three-race win streak. She got the job done in the Regret last time. She runs like a filly that's going to want more ground, too. We'll see if she does, but all eyes will be on Santa Barbara. Race number 7 goes as the Belmont Oaks Invitational. Not only is it leg B of the cross-country pick 5, it kicks off the late pick 5. At Belmont tomorrow afternoon. Victory Ride goes as race number 8, grade 3. 8 three-year-old fillies enter to go the 6.5 furlongs. One of them, Bella Sophia, has entered in an allowance contest on Sunday that I believe she's going to scratch out of this spot to run in. Don't hold me to that. Overcharged entered at Monmouth on Saturday. As is Shop Girl. So as many as 8, as little as 5. Australasia came flying down the center to get the job done in the Jersey Girls and defeated for Brad Cox. Joel Rosario rode that day. Miss Brazil broke through the gate that afternoon and still ran lights out, reading for the first time in her career successfully. The scratches, Bobby, could very well play the biggest role in this race, because if Shop Girl and Overcharged and Bella Sophia, namely Bella Sophia and Overcharged, if one or both of them come out, man, it'll make Miss Brazil's job that much more easy.
Yeah, I really wish Bella Sophia would run in this race, because I think she has a big chance to win. But maybe the fact that she drew the rail is kind of the tipping point of her deciding whether to go in this race or that allowance. I was going to try to beat Australasia today with either Bella Sophia or Miss Brazil. And if Bella Sophia comes out, I think Miss Brazil is a standout play for me. As you mentioned, she did break through the gate last time out. She was still sent off at 4-5, which, I mean, let's face it, if you're taking 4-5 on runners who break through the gate, you probably need to go to therapy. You couldn't cancel your bets fast enough. If it was me, you can't cancel the wagers fast enough, whether it's 4-5 or whether it's 45-1. Miss Brazil was 4-5 despite that. I think she's a better filly than Australasia if she runs her race, and if those other fillies scratch, she's going to have a pace advantage. I'll put Miss Brazil on top, but if Bella Sophia runs, I'm going to use both of them.
Okay. I picked Australasia, assuming there'll be two speeds in here. Now, she's overcome slow paces in the past, so it might not matter. I thought it was a clear divide. I thought it was her and Miss Brazil and then the rest of them. Super Sensational is a smidge interesting to me. Because it looks like she's just better on the all-weather, 2 for 2 to start her career last year. Maybe she didn't move forward. I didn't like the ride she got in the Silver Bullet Day. I didn't like the trip she got in the Rachel Alexandra. They tried putting her on the lead in the Fairgrounds Oaks. And then last time in the Eight Bells, I don't think John Velasquez gave her the best trip. But in his defense, she was drawn down inside. I think now she gets a good pace scenario, provided some of the speed stays in. I think a filly like this is going to like Belmont Park as well. She's just not fast enough for me. But if there's a pace, she's been training really well at Churchill Downs. She could surprise in here. I don't know if she's as good as Australasia or if she's as good as Miss Brazil, but won't be surprised if she came running. If that pace holds up, she might be a little bit of a live long shot. Interesting renewal of the Grade 3 Victory Ride. It goes as race number 8, kicks off the late pick 4 tomorrow at Belmont. Race number 9 is the Belmont Derby Invitational, Grade 1, $1 million on the line, same mile and a quarter on that inner turf. Field of 9 in here. Here's the Coolmore. It's Bolshoi Ballet. Unlike Santa Barbara, he is already a stakes winner. He won a couple of Grade 3s at this mile and a quarter distance. Didn't run so well at Epsom in the Derby last time. He got beat 17 lengths. And he's another one. You look at some of his faux pas so far in his career. They've come when there's been more given the ground than less. I wonder how much that plays a role or if they're just coming over with the class. Bolshoi Ballet, 7-5 on the morning line. You got some interesting Americans in here. You got some other shippers as well. You got the French bred Tokyo Gold for Japanese connections, and a couple of interesting Americans.
The French bred Tokyo Gold for Japanese connections, who ran in Italy. How about that?
Yeah,
for,
crazy, right?
For all over the place, and not only ran in Italy, won the Italian Derby, a Group 2 event, by 4 lengths, a 4-length win in a 14-horse field. That's something you don't normally see. I'm not very familiar. In fact, I'm not familiar at all with this trainer, Satoshi Kobayashi. The only Kobayashi I ever heard of used to eat hot dogs, and he doesn't anymore.
And then he attacked Joey Chestnut at the Coney Island 1 year when they barred him.
By the way, Joey Chestnut, the greatest athlete of our generation.
Hard to deny that.
But I digress. This is another race where I think the Euros have the Americans at their mercy if they run their races, and I really don't see a big difference between Bolshoi Ballet and Tokyo Gold. And the odds, Bolshoi Ballet 7-5, Tokyo Gold 15-1. I mean, how do you get 15-1? On a horse that won a Group 2 event by 4 lengths last time out and has run well on not firm turf courses in the past. So you get John Velasquez aboard. I'm going to try the longer price, Tokyo Gold, 15-1. I think it's the 2 euros you need to use, though.
Being the contrarian, I think the only shot at Bolshoi Ballet getting beat is if this wet turf gets to him. And I'll say this. I think Hard Love has the chance to be a really nice horse. You know, he was supposed to run on the Pennine Ridge. Pennine Ridge came off. Jonathan Thomas had to run him against older horses. Now, he didn't have the best post, but he got a really good trip last time. He was good. He was good. Don't get me wrong. He was good last time. I wonder how much he's going to appreciate the given the ground. I know his figure in the Woodhaven came back a little shorter than it did in the Central Park last year. I didn't like his race in the Central Park last year. And I wonder how much the given the ground hurts him. So I think he's talented. I'm kind of looking forward to betting him next time. I put him second because he might just be that good. And the pink elephant in the room is Du Jour. First start for trainer Bill Mott. This horse was previously trained by Bob Baffert. He's owned by the Baffert family. And this horse is on a 3-race win streak. You don't see Bob Baffert 2-year turf horses. He ran this horse on turf first time And then he rattled off three in a row from his third through fifth starts. See what kind of setup he gets. Bobby siding with the Euros. I like one of the Euros, the favorite. I'm a little chalky in the stakes at Belmont tomorrow, unfortunately. But Bolshoi Ballet for me in race number 9, the Belmont Derby Invitational. We'll take our first break. We'll come back with the Blowhorse News Update. We'll head down for the other two races in the cross-country Pick 5 sequence, the Dick Memorial and the Delaware Handicap. We'll head to Gulfstream as well for the Carryback, one of the old, some of the speed races that they moved to this weekend as opposed to last weekend. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. This weekend's races feature the Grade 3 Saline Stakes on Saturday and the Grade 3 Marine Stakes on Sunday. Both Grade 3s this weekend will feature three-year-old horses pointed towards the Woodbine Oaks and the Queen's Plate. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit Woodbine.com. That's Woodbine.com.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
The Graceful Princess at the quarter pole leads it by a half length. Bonnie South is second, Royal Flag is third, and looking toward the far outside as they work their way off the far turn. Speech has dropped out to last. Royal Flag swings off of the center of the track. Bonnie South has a head in front off the turn. Graceful Princess is fighting on toward the inside. Final furlong of the Bear Double Dog Dare Stakes. Royal Flag, Graceful Princess, Bonnie South between that pair. Royal Flag, Bonnie South, Graceful Princess to the inside at the line. It is Bonnie South between horses winning the Bear Double Dog Dare by a head.
Own Kurt Becker on the call. Bonnie South, she's 3-2 on the morning line in the Delaware Handicap tomorrow down in the Wilmington area. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Review, presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and Bobby Newman taking you through a fantastic Friday evening. Before we get back into the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. An international update, if you will. Campanelle sets sights on another French Group 1. Trainer Wesley Ward reported July 8th that Stone Street Stables Campanelle has returned to the U.S. from her recent Royal Ascot conquest in good order. The Irish-bred daughter of Kodiak crossed the wire second in a roughly run edition of the Grade 1 Commonwealth Cup June 18th. However, Campanelle was elevated to first following the disqualification of Dragon Symbol. Disqualification was disputed but ultimately upheld in the decision July 1st. The victory marked a second straight Royal Ascot conquest for Campanelle, who won the Grade 2 Queen Mary Stakes last summer as a juvenile at the prestigious race meet. Campanelle is currently training out of Ward's Keeneland base. The three-year-old is hoping to add to her already impressive resume with another victory overseas in the Group 1 August 8th Prix Maurice de Geest at Duvie in France. Last year, Campanelle won early pre-morning at the French racetrack. That wraps up tonight's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus is available through BloodHorse.com and provides exclusive content so two subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports and Bloodhorse branded weekly programming that showcases the Thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recaps recent stakes races, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse statistics, and more. That's the new Bloodhorse Plus on bloodhorse.com. Upgrade today. Now a dozen Wesley Ward wins at Royal Ascot. He keeps going. Back over some of those French Group ones, and looks Campanelle looks to keep her role going.
I like when they say a roughly run race. Now it makes me want to go watch the replay and see exactly what happened.
Oh, you didn't see that race? Oh, yeah. Awful. It took longer than it should have for that horse to come down. And it was hurting and contact at its finest. That horse deserved to come down. And I forgot to bet Campanelle, so I was quietly rooting for it to stay as is, but you kind of knew it was coming down because I can be greedy at times. But anyway, always good to see the Americans go over and win at Royal Ascot, and Wesley Ward's literally made a career out of it. Down at Delaware, a couple of graded stakes at Delaware Park tomorrow. The Grade 3 Robert G. Dick Memorial goes a mile and 3/8 on the turf. Mid-Atlantic didn't get hit as hard by the storm as we did here in New York, but if they were to take this race off the turf, which they've done in the past, it would go to a mile and a quarter as opposed to a mile and 3/8. We get a field of 9. My buddy, Dave Brown, partner in Pocket Aces, he has Temple City Terror, who ran really well in the Kirtana last time, beat the Dalica, who's back for more. Certainly looked like distance was her friend going the mile and a half. She'll cut back to the mile and 3/8. Florent Giroux, in to ride Bonnie South, picks up the mount on her. I like her. She's 6-1 on the morning line off her last race, Bobby. I think she's going to be tough as nails in here.
I think you're right. I think this is a wide-open event. The favorite is Micheline, and she certainly is one of the ones in here, although, we're questioning whether or not she can win at a mile and 3/8, or most of her races aren't those kind of distances. I went with another price here, and that's number 7, Luck Money, for Arno Delacour and Michael Sanchez. Didn't really love the way she was ridden last time out on a turf course rated good, and I think it was less than good that day at Pimlico. I mean, they went 55 for the half, 122 for three quarters at the mile and a half distance. And Luck Money was up close early, dropped back about 3 or 4 lengths, then tried to re-rally, and it just did not work out. She still finished second, but as the 6-5 favorite, I'm sure people who took 6-5 on her were not real thrilled with that trip. I think that she's proven at this distance. I think she doesn't have to come from that far back, and I think she should be lower than 10-1 her morning line. So just because of the price, I think Luck Money is interesting in this spot.
All right, first time. We'll see if Luck Money, who's cross-entered in the River Memories on Sunday, which spot she runs in. I wonder if that was done just in case the rain really hit Delaware hard. They took that off the turf, and they want to run on Sunday. So, she has races, namely that Zagora last year. She was really good in the Zagora on Halloween at Belmont, and I would imagine she can be dangerous on Saturday. Micheline, of course, I guess if you were to assess class in here, Micheline's a grade 2 winner, just missed in the grade 1 QE2 Challenge Cup last year behind Harvey's Little Goyle, beat Magic Attitude. Micheline deserves a little look as well, but I think we got the right horses. I think you got Luck Money. I got Temple City Terror, maybe a little Micheline. Interesting renewal of the grade 3 Robert G. Dick Memorial goes as race 5, first leg of the cross-country pick 5. So that's the first leg, the 3 Belmont Stakes races we talked about, second, third, and fourth legs respectively. Final leg is the Delaware Handicap, grade 2, 400,000 on the line, mile and a quarter, starts out of the home stretch chute, field of seven. And here we saw Saracosa scratch out of a race at Indiana Grand on Wednesday to run here. Dream Marie, who upset the Obia, the traditional prep for this at Delaware, is here. Queen Nakia gets a little class relief, having faced Latruska in the Ogden Phipps. She also faced Monty South that day, but Queen Nakia going to a place where she's had an awful lot of success in her career. She's won half of her 10 starts and half of her 10 wins in her career have come at Delaware Park. All eyes will be on Bonnie South, though, Bobby. Another consistent filly from the Brad Cox barn. Just couldn't deal with the likes of Latruska. Talk about some class relief, though, in here.
And I think the easiest way to put this is Bonnie South is just better than this field. She's been better most of the way around. She's even better this year as a four-year-old than she was last year as a three-year-old when she was very, very good back then. I think she'll get an honest pace to chase with both Gibberish and Miss Marissa in the field. Of course, Miss Marissa is the filly who upset Bonnie South in the Black-Eyed Susan at Pimlico last year. It was not Florent Giroux's highlight reel race, as far as I was concerned, with Bonnie South. She didn't break all that well, but Giroux did not put her in a very good position to be successful that day. She ended up being second. She was only beaten neck. She was way better than that field. She doesn't want to be that far back. Let's face it, her normal races would beat this field, and some of them would beat this field fairly handily. If you could get 3-2 on Bonnie South, like her morning line states, you should run to the window.
I think the only thing you worry about is somebody getting loose on her. The problem in here is that looks like it'll be Gibberish, the number one. Not that it is Gibberish. There's an actual filly named Gibberish. I'll say this about Gibberish. She got caught up in a wicked, wicked pay stool in the Royal Delta. She came back. She got a strange ride. I mean a strange ride in a strange race in the Ruffian, where there was five lead changes in the first quarter of a mile. And then last time, she kind of got chased around there, and she beat the rest of the field in the Lady Secret by a good ways. She ran behind a Chad Brown filly in Al Toff, who Chad's spoken about how he got special permission from Shadwell to keep her in training this year. More often than not, those fillies go off to the breeding shed. So Al Toff's a horse you're going to want to keep an eye on. And this filly gave her all she could handle until about the 3/16 pole at Monmouth after getting softened up early. The only horse I think that could be an earshot of Gibberish early is Miss Marissa, and that usually depends on how she's ridden. Danny Centeno has ridden her a couple of times, and he's taken her just off the pace. So I wonder if Gibberish, now a mile and a quarter might be a lot to ask, but I think the only way Bonnie South gets beat is if somebody gets loose on her. If somebody gets loose on her, it's Gibberish. That doesn't necessarily mean I think it's going to be 1-5 or 5-1 because Gibberish might just fall apart. So I'm playing this race strangely. I'll make a win bet, a token win bet on Gibberish, and I will come back and I will make a 5-3 exacta. Bonnie South over Dream Marie. Beats her, she beats her. I never do this, but this was an interesting race because I think that the only way she gets beat is if she gets loose, somebody gets loose on her. So, and I'd use both Gibberish and Bonnie South in multi-race wagers. I'll use them both in one of my cross-country pick five tickets. I'll come back and press Bonnie South, but I'll try and get Gibberish home at a price or Bonnie South. Race number 9 at Delaware goes as the grade 2 Delaware handicap. We'll wrap this segment with the $75,000 carry back, a race that used to be graded down at Gulfstream Park, used to be run on Fountain on Summit of Speed Day. Bobby Newman's called the carry back plenty of times. Field of 9 in this year's renewal. Where'd you land?
I went all the way to the outside with number 9, Papi 2, for Antonio Sano and Lionel Reyes. Haven't seen Papi 2 since the Florida Derby on March 27th, they had high hopes or maybe still do have high hopes for this son of Dialed In. Five of his last six races were against graded stakes caliber competition, and let's face it, he's not good enough to beat Jackie's Warrior or Greatest Honor or Known Agenda. Those horses, especially at the longer distances, are way better than him, and in going up to a mile, Jackie's Warrior is much better than Pape Two. Well, you know what? They're not in this race. Back in for a $75,000 stake today. Comes back for a trainer that, although he's not lethal with these extended layoff types, he's fine. He wins just as much with these layoff types as he does with everything, right around 10%. Good series of 3, 4, 5 furlong work showing for this one's return, and I like the outside post. Class relief enough. I'll take 6-1 on Pape Two.
I love 12 Volt Man tomorrow. 4-1 on the morning line. Safi Joseph, well represented. He's got four of the nine runners in this race. And I think there's going to be enough speed to mix it up early. This horse one going six. This horse one going a mile. I think the seven's going to hit him right between the eyes. I love 12 Volt Man tomorrow. Race 12 at Gulfstream goes as the carry back. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Some Monmouth action, some Woodbine action as well. We'll cover races from both tracks, both days, along with Belmont. So we'll get the Saturday Monmouth and Woodbine races in when we return. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Championship racing is at legendary Pimlico Racecourse. Watch and wager as Maryland's best compete in a Saturday Summer Stakes campaign worth nearly $1.5 million in purses. July 24th features the $200,000 Grade 3 BWI Turf Cup. July 31st features three match series stakes races worth $300,000. And August 21st is a salute to all things Maryland at the Maryland Pride Maryland Strong Celebration. The Pimlico meet offers live racing Friday through Sunday with a regular post time of 12:40 p.m. Visit the track or catch the live stream at pimlico.com.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, only on HRRN.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Wink, who has the lead 3 parts of a length. Lioness of Brittany is second. Rocket Reload third. Fuzia next. Running Memories running home from the back. Trying to gather some momentum as Can't Buy Love and Sleek Links as they turn for the drive. Wink has the lead. She's under pressure. Lioness of Brittany launching a bit on the outside now. Second. Down the center. Fuzia coming on third. There's an eighth of a mile to go. And it's still Wink. Wink is still finding. Wink is clear. Lioness of Brittany is out of time. Wink wins. Second. Lioness of Brittany close for third. Can't Buy Love got rolling, and I think she got up in 55-1.
Peter Ello on the call of the Melody of Colors. Wink. Back. She's at Monmouth tomorrow. In the Blue Sparkle. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Big A, Bobby Newman. Head over to NairaBetts.com to open an account. HRRN200, the promo code. Bet 200, get 200. Cross country pick 5. Race 5 at Delaware. Races 7, 8, and 9 at Belmont. Race 9 at Delaware. It's all stakes. It's all graded stakes, actually. A couple of grade ones in there as well. Also a 50-50, but 50 to win, at least 50 to win on a horse in the Belmont Oaks and the Belmont Derby. Win or lose, you get $10 back. Head to NairaBets.com to open the account and for more details. Blue Sparkler goes as the favorite down the, as the feature down the shore tomorrow. Race number 9. 5.5 furlongs out of the chute. One of those turf sprints. Overcharge and Shop Girl are entered main track only in here. So we'll see if this race comes off the turf. If they opt for the victory ride or this, I would imagine they'd come down here. And if it's off the turf, they're going to be very tough, especially Overcharge. We'll probably just get in front of these. On the turf, I couldn't get past Wink. What say you?
I'm going to go a little different direction here. I have nothing negative to say about Wink, but I'm intrigued with the breeding of number 3, Dr. B, who's trying the turf for the first time. She's run 4 times all on the dirt, 3 times at Parks, once at Belmont, where she ran in that race with Australasia, Bella Sophia, and Miss Brazil, and just was overmatched that day. But she's by Liam's Map out of a Proud Citizen mare, pretty good turf breeding on both sides. And she's got races at Parks that on dirt would make her very tough in here. If she can repeat that form to the turf, I think she can win, and she's 4-1 on the morning line.
Okay. So 4-1 morning line for Dr. B. That's my guy, Dr. Blanchard. Ran the MSI program at John Adams High School. Just spoke to his son Andy today. Almost saw him at Belmont, but I had to leave. So Bobby likes Dr. B. I like Wink. Race 9 goes as the Blue Sparkler again. We'll have Belmont, Monmouth, and some Woodbine action for Sunday coming up in the final segment. Speaking of Woodbine, the Celine is one of 2 stakes on the Saturday card. Grade 3 for the fillies. Mile and a 16th. $150,000 on the line on over the all-weather. Field of 7 in here, and as is usually the case, Mark Cassie has a strong hand. He's got 3 of the 7 fillies. But he doesn't have the 2-1 morning line favorite. That role goes to the number 1. Goat Go. Roger Atfield, Hall of Famer. This filly won a turf allowance race at Churchill last time. And she will try the all-weather for the first time as a 3-year-old last year. In her lone start going this mile on the 16th at Woodbine, she broke her maiden at over 12-1. And she returns for Atfield as the 2-1 morning line choice.
She makes sense. I'm going to take a Mark Cassie trainee, though, and that is the 3rd choice on the morning line. Number 3, Our Flash Drive, who did not look very good last year as a 2-year-old filly trying to sprint on the dirt at Saratoga. She wasn't bet in either of her races. She didn't do much running in either of her races. Came back off about a 10-month layoff onto the all-weather at Woodbine and looked like the next coming of whatever you want to say last time out. She was 9th at the first call in a field of 12. She won by almost 4 lengths, going 7 furlongs and 121-4. She's really bred to be better long than short, being by Ghost Sapper out of a Dyna former mare. So bred to be better long, maybe eventually bred to run on the turf, especially with that Dyna former on the bottom. Love the way she looked last time out, and Our Flash Drive. I'm excited to see her run in the Celine.
Yeah. I hate to keep agreeing. We've agreed in some spots. I like her. I was a coin flip. So what I'm going to do is I'll do something that Andy Sterling does on Talking Horses sometimes. I'm going to change my top pick. So race 7 at Woodbine tomorrow kicks off their late pick 5. And if you're playing, I would use 2 fillies in here. I don't like Goat Go. I like Bobby's filly. I think Our Flash Drive makes an awful lot of sense. I like the number 5, Sweet Super Sweet. Broke her maiden on the all-weather at Woodbine. She came back and ran behind Toby's Heart and Joy's Roquette and Almanzi and Pillow in the Bolton Landing. She went to Presque Isle and won their debutante on the all-weather. Then she shipped to Gulfstream to run on the turf. So as a 2-year-old, she went from Woodbine to Saratoga to Presque Isle to Gulfstream Park to Old Calder. She got a little fresh. She got a nice enough freshening over 6 months. She came back 0-6 on the all-weather from the rail. She didn't have a good start on the whole nine yards. Now she stretches. I know she has one race going long, but it was on the turf. I don't think she's a turf filly. I think she's an all-weather filly. So I was a coin flip between Our Flash Drive and Sweet Super Sweet. Bobby took Our Flash Drive, so I'm going to take Sweet Super Sweet. She's 10-1. Louis Contreras is going to ride for Mike Trombetta. I'll make her my top pick. Race 7 goes as the Grade 3. Celine, later on the Saturday card, the Fury goes as race number 9. This is for state bred, Canadian bred fillies going 7/8 out of the chute. You see Il Malocchio is cross-entered in both races. We'll see which one she runs in. I thought Lorena looks like she's loose on the lead. She's 2-for-2 at Woodbine. She's won off a long layoff. I thought she was going to be tough. In fact, Stuart Simons won just one race at the meet from 18 starters going into Friday. This was the one. I like Lorena.
So do I. I can't get past her. Her two races thus far have both been, at least in my eyes, good enough to beat this field, and especially her second race looks like it would beat this field easily. It's really not getting too creative here. I like her post draw. I think she's more talented in this field. And a rider we don't hear much about anymore, but just keeps winning, Gary Boulanger. Boy, he's done a good job for a long, long time, whether it's been up at Woodbine or in the States. And, of course, for many, many years he rode a lot in the Northwest back when Long Acres was racing. Yeah, he was great up there, but he's still winning races at Woodbine.
Yep. Yeah. Good dude. He's make a bunch of money with him in South Florida or Calder. He won a bunch of races at Calder. Yeah. And I think we're allowed to pass.
He used to make a bunch of money on the golf course on the side, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he was a little slick that way. I mean, he was a good player, and he made sure he had the best of it.
Nice. Smart man.
Yeah,
and listen, we gave him a couple of prices in the Celine. I think we're okay to be chalk-eating weasels in the Fury because she looks tough tomorrow. Lorena, for both Bobby Newman and me, in race 9. The Fury, 125,000 on the line as the Phillies go 7 furlongs. All right, we'll take one more break. We'll come back with a supersized segment. 4 stakes, Belmont, Monmouth, and Woodbine all have Sunday action. Closing day at Belmont Sunday, so we got all kinds of force outs with the pick 4, pick 5, and, of course, the pick 6 pool. We'll talk to you about the Sunday action when we return. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Racing is back at Colonial Downs July 19th through September 1st with top-class racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Large fields and premier dirt and turf courses will give bettors plenty of opportunities for great value and big payouts, and horsemen will love the average purses of $500,000 per day. With a beefed-up stakes schedule and generous guarantees for owners and trainers, Colonial Downs is the place to race and wager this summer. Learn more at ColonialDowns.com.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Iliad is now on the move as Bo Bell drops back. Delta's Kingdom has advanced into third. Mutamakina towards the rail in fourth. Theodora B. on the outside. As they move down for the eighth pole, it is still traipsing, trying to go wire to wire here. Mutamakina comes through on the inside. Then it is Iliad, Delta's Kingdom, and Theodora B. traipsing in front. Mutamakina with one last charge on the inside. It is traipsing, and Mutamakina got it. Mutamakina wins the Long Island Stakes. Traipsing, the pace setter, was second.
Christoph Clement went 1-2 as Mutamakina ran down the pace setting traipsing in the Long Island last fall at the Big A. She'll look for her first win in three starts of 2021 in the River Memories on Sunday at beautiful Belmont Park. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Nine race cards Sunday, special first post of 12:30, A-Train reunion, the little A. Acacia Courtney joins me on Talking Horses. We'll go at right around 11 o'clock, 11:10, I believe, up until noon for the nine race card. Again, closing day, so force outs and pick fours, the early and late pick fives, and of course the pick six will start in race number four. The River Memories goes as race eight. Mile and a half on the turf. We told you earlier, Luck Money Cross entered in the Dick Memorial and this race. She's the only filly who's doing that. There's a field of eight. One of them is a main track only. It's the bottom horse, Thankful. So seven will run on the turf, or six, depending on scratches. And Mutamakina figures to take a lot of money. I would imagine Civil Union getting what could be some much-needed class relief. She's the defending champion of the River Memories. She'll take some money as well.
I'm having a hard time figuring out who's going to make the lead in this race, and those kind of races scare me because it ends up, you know, either somebody's going to make the lead that I didn't expect and maybe they're just crawling around there, or it's, you know, this race, for all intents and purposes, even though it's a mile and a half, is really just a 3-furlong sprint to the wire. So I picked number five, Virginia Joy, for Chad Brown and Manny Franco. Had the misfortune of running behind Mean Mary in the New York last time out. Mean Mary was just able to get a much better pace scenario that day. Virginia Joy trying to close and just couldn't close that afternoon. I think her race before that, the allowance race, her first start in the country, is good enough to be right there, if not beat this field. And hopefully she can just be in the right spot. And like I said, she's one of several who look like they want to close a little bit. I don't know what kind of trip she's going to get, but I think she'll have a much better chance without it just being Mean Mary who's able to dictate terms.
I don't think this is an instance of a rabbit. I think Call Me Love, because I had the same conundrum you had. I think Call Me Love's going to go to the lead. And I think she's going to go to the lead for two reasons. One, I think it gives her a best chance to win. I would imagine, you know, she's won going a mile and a quarter overseas. Now, those races in Italy are not the most tried and true heats you're going to see. I would imagine she's on the lead, though. In Italy, she won the Tessio back as a three-year-old on the lead. And you see comments like, in touch. I think they're going to put Call Me Love on the lead on the big stretch out. That's my opinion. I think it gives her a chance. I'll tell you what, though. Mutamakina should have won the Zagora. She won the Long Island. She ran behind a grade one filly in Magic Attitude. And you want to talk about being behind the eight ball. She was given, if this was harness, Javier Castellano gave her an awful ride in the New York. I mean, it was brutal. I don't know if it would have mattered. She was just, she was wide everywhere. She was wide when she went back to the barn. And now she gets the master back in the boot, Joel Rosario. So it might just be as simple as Mutamakina is better than these horses. I think Call Me Love's going to go to the lead. I have to take some insanity insurance out on Civil Union because I liked her last time and she ran awful. I don't know if it's the giving the ground. It could very well be that she doesn't like giving the ground, and I would imagine they're still going to be giving that ground Sunday. We got a lot of rain, and there's thunderstorms Friday night. There's some thunderstorms possible Sunday. I don't know what to do with Civil Union, to be honest with you. But I'm going to play the race around Christophe Clement. I think Mundo McKinnon is going to be tough, and I think Call Me Love might get loose on them. So they're the two I like. Mundo McKinnon, top pick. Race 8 goes as the River Memories. Race number 11 at Monmouth on Sunday is the My Frenchman. 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Fauci making his third start for trainer Phil Antonacci. This horse was previously trained by Wesley Ward. Got the money at Monmouth in an allowance race under similar conditions last time out. 2nd of July, had an awful trip in his return to the races. He ran exclusively against two-year-olds last year. And then he came back in a spot for Phil Gleaves, a nearly impossible spot, an allowance race with some real tried-and-true allowance horses. They went 107-4. He had a brutal beginning. I thought he was a little interesting in here. Christophe Clement sends Momos over. Momos was 3rd in the Futurity, 7th in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint last year. And Wesley Ward has Chasing Artie, who tried the Woodstock on the all-weather at Woodbine last out. He was a big-time winner, 2-for-2 turf sprinting for Wesley Ward.
So I'm going to take one that you didn't mention, and that is number three, Arzak. Arzak for Mike Trombetta and Jose Ferrer. Last seen trying a mile on a yielding turf course at Belmont Park. Really didn't run poorly that day behind Public Sector. Horse who was 3rd in the race already came back and won in his next start. Arzak, I think they've been trying to make this horse a router. He's by not this time out of a Tappet mare. So you've got kind of sprint to mile breeding on the top and route breeding on the bottom, and I think they've been trying to make him a router. And although he's won around two turns, I'm not sure that he's better routing than sprinting. I think he's easily as good, if not better, sprinting than routing. And I think he'll appreciate the shortening back up to 5.5 furlongs. Jose Ferrer is having a great meet. It's a strange meet at Monmouth because there are not a lot of quote-unquote big-name riders there this meet. A lot of the guys that we would normally see, guys and gals, have decided to ply their trade elsewhere because of the new restrictive rules. But Jose Ferrer taking full advantage of that and winning at a much higher percentage this meet than maybe what you'd normally see for him at Monmouth. He's close to 25%. He shows up on this one who I think has been facing better competition and will appreciate the shorter distance.
All right. I'm trying 2nd of July off that brutal trip last time. See who rides him. I don't know. No rider's name. We'll see who it winds up being. But I like 2nd of July to do a little damage and Chasing Artie. 2nd of the line, Chasing Artie for me. Race 11 goes as the My Frenchman at Monmouth. Woodbine race number 7, the Grade 3 Marine. Now, we'll probably see some horses come out of this for the Queen's Plate. Now, this is an open race for three-year-olds. But the one title forces for Gail Cox and Samson is an Ontario bred. Candy Overload, number 4, Ontario bred, as is the 5, Hadassah, the 6, Keep Grinding. So 4 of the 6 are eligible, in theory, for the Queen's Plate. Be curious to see who actually goes off the favorite, because Mark Cassie has 2, the 2 Frosted Over, the 3 Easy Time. They're Kentucky breds, not eligible, but both have won over the all-weather at Woodbine.
This was a tough race for me to handicap because they look like they're very similar in ability. But number 1, Title Forces has done nothing wrong in 2 starts. Stalked the pace in his debut on the turf. Ended up grinding out a win. Had to overcome a little adversity on the all-weather track last time out, facing winners for the first time and being forced very wide at the top of the stretch, still was able to blow by them late and win. Like the inside draw, I'm just going to stick with him to keep the train rolling. I don't think he lays over this field, but I like the fact that he's been able to win in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, where Title Forces has the has a little bit of an edge in here, I think, is the wins going long, right? It just kind of looks like, and I didn't want to take them. I think Frosted Over is going to get loose on these horses. And the win on the all-weather last time, I just don't know about him wanting the two turns. You know, he's a Frosted. I know the Candy Crush is going to, the Candy Ride's going to get him long, but I don't know. I thought the interesting horse was on the bottom, just Keep Grinding, who came off the long layoff to run third last time, stalking the pace. I'd like to see if he can finish up maybe a little bit more. So I went to him. I took Keep Grinding over Title Forces. I know he's got to improve. Keep Grinding does to be Title Forces, but he'll be a little bit better of a price, and I'll find out at a little bit of a better price. Keep Grinding for me. Over Title Forces, race 7 goes as the Grade 3 Marine. Race 8 is the Queenston for the Canadian Breds. They'll go 7/8 out of the chute, so a similar formula from the Philly races on Saturday. And Gretzky the Great, he returns. He's a Grade 1 winner. He won the summer on the turf up at Woodbine last year. He has a win on the all-weather. He broke his maiden in an off-the-turf race. He tried a couple of stakes down at Turfway this winter and spring. Third in the Battaglia, fifth in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. Is you're going to have some Gretzky the Greats on your ticket for a little bit of the class play in here?
Boy, he just looks like a completely different horse running against those horses at Woodbine, whether it's on the turf or on the all-weather. He tried the Tough Stakes Company down in the States. It didn't work out quite as well. He didn't run bad races, but he just wasn't having the winning success. Yeah, I'm all about Gretzky the Great. He looks like 7 furlongs up at Woodbine is just hits him right between the eyes, and it looks like he's been working well at his home track the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'd be using him. The other horse I want to take a look at is the one, Candy Overload, who came storming home to finish second in an allowance optional claimer last time. He broke his maiden going 6.5 there. I think he's got a chance to get a little pace help tomorrow, Sunday rather. So I'm going to try Candy Overload, but certainly the favorites can win. Candy Overload for me. Race number 8 goes as the Queenston. All 13 in the books. Time now for the Naira Bets Best Bet.
This is the Naira Bets Best Bet.
Take it away, Bobby Newman.
Well, I'm not going to get real creative here, but in the Grade 2 Delaware Handicap on Saturday, 1.25, I think something strange is going to have to happen for Bonnie South not to win. She's just better than this field. She's in great form right now. I know she's been second 4 of her last 5 starts, but look who she was running second to, Swiss Skydiver, Latruska. I mean, she finished clear of She Dares the Devil last time out. Her form is just too good. She's going to get redemption on Miss Marissa in the Delaware Handicap.
All right. I'm going to go down to Gulfstream Park. 12-volt man for me. One of 4 in the carry back for Safi Joseph, who's having a hell of a meet down there in Hallandale Beach. I think 12-volt man. And Chantel Sutherland, how about that blast from the past? I think this horse sits the right trip and gets the money. He's 4-1 on the morning line. I'll take that in the $75,000 carry back. Goes as race 12 on Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, comes your way on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on these channels, Sirius 219 XM 201. NTRA President and CEO Alex Waldrop discusses NTRA's contribution to the industry and shares his thoughts on racing's future. Delaware Park Racing Secretary Jed Doro previews their big Saturday card. Trainer Mike McCarthy and Jonathan Thomas discuss their top horses. We'll remember Harvey Pack. Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne. Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. In the Room with Sean Clancy. A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker. All of that and more tomorrow morning. Show to launch the network, the Equine Forum. 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sirius 219 XM 201. Stream it live at horseracingradio.net. Great job as always, Bobby Newman. We will do it again. You and I will do it again Thursday, Wednesday, race day. Comes your way with Bobby and Jude Feld. That should be a fun show.
Yep, we're going to get a guest on, somebody from Southern California, maybe talk about some of the opening weekend stakes from Del Mar.
Yeah, these California guys talking Del Mar, I'm not interested. I'm interested in one thing, the Old Spa. That's where this show will emanate from next Friday. For Bobby Newman and Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you have a lucky night. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Enjoy the Equine Forum tomorrow morning. May the horse be with you. Love you, Harvey. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great night, HRN Nation.